You're listening to UnConcast on the Georgia Podcast Network, featuring unconference sessions and other related discussions from around the Southeast.
Pursuing and really the benefits you see with your investment, either in resources or your investments in time. So this has been really a real-time presentation kind of creation. As I listened to the questions in the audience, as I saw the use cases that were coming up, I thought, you know, we'll balance this presentation a little bit, and I'll do a little bit of Captain Obvious, right? Oh, my goodness, that really is what social media is? And so, well, it may seem basic. I think that we all kind of start on a level set, and I'll roll into some concepts that we've worked in the business I'm with, Innovis, and then we'll open it up to really have the conversation go. I'm John Gottrell. I'm really glad to be here. I really don't know if I'm qualified to do this, but sometimes when you're the guy sitting at the table when the beers are almost gone at social media club, oh, he's the B2B guy. And thanks for showing up. But at the end of the day, it's who, what, where, and why. I think we all know the where, right, online. So if we examine what and where or what, why, and who, you do it because you want to make revenue, right? There's some revenue somewhere, right, Jack?
Yes. And first question, are your slides going to be accessible in some form?
I am a Creative Commons junkie. I will have everything posted on my blog, spatiallyrelevant.com or .org, whatever you want to get to. It'll be on the Innovis blog. It will be on my Twitter profile, so Don't y'all worry. You'll have access to it. And my Twitter ID is down there, Jack. So that's spatially. So great question. And I think every one of these are going to be online. So if you find something you wanted to see or you couldn't attend one of the other sessions, you can see it, at least live vicariously through the images. If anything you've learned about bloggers and social media people, we really don't make real slides, right? There's not any real content on the slides. That, as a marketer, was hard for me. But what was even harder is when I started thinking about my brands and my products in context of online communities, online interactions. Traditionally, we want to go to events, trade shows, we want to talk to analysts. You know, all of these influencers that historically drove revenue, drove brand awareness. Well, they're different people now. They're bloggers, they're you, they're your sister, your cousin, they're everyone that you know, from your employees, former employees, your competitors. And that's really the universe that social media lives in. And from a B2B perspective, how do you leverage that? You know, it's this big amorphous thing. There's no real rules. We fought about accountability this morning, right? Well, not fought. We beat up the guy from South Africa, right? I think is how that went. And really what was that about? It's about how can you, in a word, describe it as community. Is it a self-policing community? Maybe, maybe not. That's open to debate. But from a non-buzzword perspective, what is community, right? And I'm going to throw around buzzwords because they're unavoidable, mainly because it makes me feel taller. But when I think about buzzwords and when I think about community, it's something that, you know, we got an industry word for it. We call it a target market, right? It's no different than your typical SWOT analysis, trying to understand who you're going after. It's a set of buyer personas. They may live places online, they may participate in certain news groups, but it's no different than going after a channel, going after a target market, and it's really about how do you engage that and how do you have, you know, try and drive value from millions of people that are out there. There's no shortage of folks using online media, and, you know, I'm a Facebook junkie, so I had to think about how many people are really using this? Well, it's about 6th or 7th largest country on the planet, right? Who wouldn't want that market? Give me Bangladesh every day, a popular brand, and I'll be happy. So that's your opportunity. Go find your Bangladesh or your part of Bangladesh. You know, find a way that you can engage professionally and personally in a way that's meaningful, that drives your brand, your products, and then maybe some revenue, right? I'm not a big fan of social media has a direct relationship to revenue. I believe social media has got a direct relationship to innovation, better service, and better requirements. And that's really the experiment that if you think about how organizations are using social media, or, you know, Web 2.0, I hate Web 2.0, they're talking about Web 3.0 now. At some point, we'll be at about 10, and they'll have a new name like Vista. But this is really where we're engaging, right? A gentleman just stopped up earlier, and I had to pull my card out because it's a great example from VCall. You know, virtual trade shows and conferences are growing. Anyone had an economic meltdown? Yeah. People aren't spending money to travel. They aren't spending money at traditional shows. This is an odd show, right? There's so many people here, we can barely fit you into any of the rooms. So what we see here is atypical for the market. That's why folks are investing in new things. Blogs. We've got a blog here. Personal. Corporate. All right. That's one of the main mediums. It's like the first one we all get sucked into, right? It's content-rich. Feels like writing. Feels like press release almost, right? You write a big word, a bunch of words, and maybe someone will grab on to do something interesting. And that's really the thing. It's how do they grab onto it and drive value? Because how can you use it in a B2B use case? Here's some big level buckets, right? Thought leadership, right? We've heard that until we're almost nauseated, right? But it's a reality. How do you find people that know about what you want to do? People that influence those that buy from you. So you got to think about that. Lead generation. Well, again, I said it's not about, don't know if I've closed many leads, but I know that folks that create leads with my business consume our content on our blog. That's the only thing I know is that people that buy from me before the transaction leverage our social media entities at Innovus. Communication. I want to tell my customers what I'm doing. I want to tell my prospects what I'm doing. I sort of want to tell my competitors things that's not really happening, and maybe I'll do that sometimes in some forms on an anonymous name, right? It's the interesting thing. Back to accountability, right? And the sort of fuzziness. How do you communicate? In fact, there's a great lecture going on simultaneously over here from a guy that from Ketchum, and you know, around PR and communication. You know, you don't know where the artifact's going to live. You don't know how a statement's going to take you. So when you engage in social media, there are no rules. There's no rules for your customers. There's no rules for your employees. It's this big thing that you don't control. So communication is important, but I think you can manage knowledge amongst your customers. Someone said something about support and maintenance earlier, I think. I used to pay for maintenance for my software product. Went online, and I got to a developer. One of the biggest complaints my customers have is, you don't get me to the developers fast enough. I already learned something from today I'm going to take back to my business, is how can I empower more of my developers to engage our community? That's the opportunity in B2B, at least right now, until you can get some better ways to manage it and service. I think it's all about after the transaction. Anyone here in product management? Customers, they're crazy things, they say crazy things, right? But you want to hear it as a product manager, right? Very often, you're obscured from the actual customer because of sales. Anyone heard that before? If you give me this feature, I'm going to win this deal. In this down economy, it's going to get a little bit worse. What if you could actually engage your customers and the market and know what they actually care about? I know what sales thinks I need. I know what my PR agency thinks I need to invest in. But what is really my customer want? What do they really want me to invest in? And that's really some of the high-level buckets you can look at. But how does it align to your business? How do you drive meaningful metrics across it? You know, you got to understand that someone in the business has to own the agenda. Someone has to drive towards a meaningful set of metrics that your CEO is going to trust. Your board of directors are going to go, yeah, that's a pretty good idea. Maybe your angel investors are like, yeah, I can see how that would drive value. So you can listen, you can talk, you can energize, you can spread, support, and embrace. But there's a word that's not there. It's engage. Engage the market, engage your customers, engage your employees. Yes?
Just a quick question on that topic. You know, kind of back to your point about having your programmers and developers engage with the customers. How do you draw the lines between even the communication and skill and productivity?
So my question, the question I have probably for the room is, how can you stop it? Right, so we have every organization, a draconian IT group, right? No Facebook, right? No Facebook, can't have Facebook. Well, no Facebook. Then I bought this thing. I'm Facebooking all day long, right? All day long, people. Yeah. I know what my friends are doing from high school. I may be in the middle of the meeting, half asleep, droning because, you know, someone's like, right? But I'm Facebooking. And IT's doing nothing about it. You can't stop it, right? It's the power of the individual, the power of the enabling technology that came up earlier, right? It's not the application, it's the enablement of things that you can do. So it's out of control, right? IT's lost its power struggle, right? Mobile devices. Yes, sir?
Well, I would submit the counter-argument would be if having 10 extra minutes of engagement makes that customer happier and they turn around and order 10 more widgets from you, so you lost 10 minutes of work time, you just gained 10 minutes.
Better yet, better another way to look at it is if you answer the question with 140-character tweet on Twitter, that's one of the most highly productive resolution cycles on the planet. Right? Yeah. Is the power out? Oh, okay. Cool. So, there's not much you can do but try to be successful in this space. That's all you can do. You're going to make mistakes, right? We all make mistakes. And this is a medium that loves mistakes, actually. You know, you can make a blunder and get more PR out of that than what you thought was a thought leadership white paper, there was a tech crunch or something, right? So really it's about how do you manage your brand, your products, and I call it the outside-in brand, right? And that's where the reality is moving. The brand isn't what you say about it, and in B2B it's even more, right? Because brands are, you know, becoming, I guess, less so in 10 years ago, right? You didn't really buy brands from a B2B perspective. You bought products and technology. In a consumer world, we loved brands for a long time. But B2B is now moving far more brand-centric as more and more companies merge, more and more scale gets in, you know, certain B2B environments. So brands are becoming more important, but you don't control them anymore. Your customers do. So, you know, if you look at a tag cloud, your tag cloud is going to be your brand. It's not going to be what press release you put out. It's not going to be the blog. It's going to be your customers comment on your blog. It's going to be someone going, you see the stupid press release from company A? You know, all this gobbledygook, non-personal speak that's got no reality in buying cycles. Right? I mean, has read a press release. So, enterprise class, best in class, those kind of meaningless words, you know, consumers don't live on. What, you know, they care about, does it solve my problem? And that's one of the things we should focus on is you can't do nothing, right? You got to find a way to help them get the word out. So not doing anything for your brand is really going to be a challenge. So you better go all in, find a way to really just put your cards on the table, drive a little more value, invest, and trust your employees. This is an interesting thing. It's kind of like a little HR shift too, right? You have to empower your employees to do things. Can't control it, but you got to empower them and trust them, right? So it's about leadership, it's about trust, it's about investment. You know, let your employees blog, right? You know, you can't stop them, you know, encourage them to do it. Hopefully, they'll say something good about your company. That would be a wonderful thing. And then, if you can get them thinking socially and you can get them engaged on your own corporate blog, you know, you're taking it to another level, right? Your company now starts thinking socially. How many of you think you've got a company that thinks socially right now that you work at? So it is the minority, right? And it's kind of because we don't know what it is, right? You know, it's a trial and error. And that's what the challenge is, right? So if you can find a way to think socially, you can come up with innovation. One of the innovations we had in our business, and this is about where we transitioned over to y'all, is we empower employees to blog, participate in social media. We started our own blog where everyone from support organization to the CEO blogged. No topics on, you know, we talked about agile programming. Scrums, not really about our industry, but it got our folks thinking socially, and out of that came innovation. Yeah, we are kind of a trendy little EDI company, moving documents around, and we noticed that we had social characteristics in our business and in our customers' business communities. We started leveraging that these concepts that we deploy in our social B2B social media strategies, our marketing strategies, to develop products that were social. So we didn't just get leads and interest. We got new products and new things because we encouraged people to think socially. So find a way to encourage that because it's real and it happens now. Today, you know, we all bang the lead in the technical space, right? Kataka. Where are we at right now? Subcar. In fact, it is such a popular topic, it apparently broke Twitter search, right? So it's real, it's immediate, and it's now, and that's where we're going to start the conversation. Anyone want to grab this? Because I do have a person in the field that already tapped to do this. Hey, Mickey, what do you think about social media? I mean, you're old school marketer, new school kind of marketer. I mean, what has it done for your business and how you engage the market?
There's nothing like being the plant in the audience to make sure that something gets started before the cookies get started. Probably the biggest thing that social media has done for my business. So I run a corporate development advisory firm, which means I do mergers, acquisitions, divestitures, and restructurings in the textbooks. And so in today's market, guess what? There are not a lot of mergers, acquisitions, divestitures, although there's a lot of restructuring that's going on.
Restructuring is corp speak for layoffs, right? in this meeting, we're going to just use plain old talk. No doubt in the good.
And so the way that I use to sell my services is I have a network of 250 investment bankers here in Europe that I've built relationships with over the past 15 years. Half of those guys and gals are unemployed right now. Okay, a quarter of them are flipping burgers. Okay, and the rest of them are doing nothing. And so I had to find a way to change my visibility and how I had an opportunity to engage people. And so talking with some friends that actually have a clue about what they're doing, you know, I've been a LinkedIn guy for a long time. That had been my primary online network, which was good, don't get me wrong. I have 500 contacts, all organized, love it to death. But I started blogging, I started Facebooking, and I started Twittering. And what I've been able to do is to grow my network of people that have an understanding of what I do and what's unique about my particular business. And I've been fortunate that in today's terrible economy that I've been able to translate. I've gotten a couple of very nice jobs, okay, you know, in the past 2 months from people that I never would have had contact with outside of my social media community, you know, that I've begun to evolve. And so there is, you know, I agree, you can't, you know, equate social media to revenue, but it does create that engagement opportunity that, you know, that I simply, in today's world, I just couldn't get. You know, I guarantee you, there are 10,000 guys like me in the United States. Okay, what makes me different than the rest of them is that somebody can go to my blog, to my Twitter, to my Facebook, and they can learn more about what makes me unique and how I could help their particular world.
Yeah, and it all comes down to branding. You're branding yourself on all of these websites and all of these tools. And the beauty of this, some of them are free. This is a free way to, you know, get the word out about you as a person, about your philosophy, your ideas. I want to throw this out. What frustrates me a little bit is that you can't really see the metrics on Facebook yet. You know, I wish you could really see who was coming, what activity was going on within your profile. You can with Twitter. I know there are some applications that let you view statistics. But
so at some point, I believe that's how they're going to monetize Facebook.
Yes.
Right? I want that data, right? What other data would y'all want, right? I mean, you want users.
Right.
You want your brand. What other data is meaningful? Because metrics are hard in this thing.
Demographics, psychographics. How can you extract out of somebody's interesting profiles, you know, the standard kind of marketing metrics that, you know, people have used in the consumer and the business world for years? I mean, I would kill to find a business or to build a business that could do Facebook demographics. I think that you could sell that to the world. Okay, you could sell, you know, the best way to make money in the social media world is maybe just to, you know, sell pics and jeans to the social media miners. You know, arms to the arms versions.
There's a lot of quietness up top. What do you all pick up here?
Yeah, I'm actually confronted with the challenge.
I'm
right for those press releases, but they're totally clear until the lawyers get
I have never heard a lawyer say best in class. They might say, church, you know, something a little more tense.
But my challenge is I work with manufacturing companies, heavy equipment companies, where the prejudices are that, well, our customers don't look at stuff on the internet. They don't care about computers. So I'm trying to educate and break stereotypes. Our guys wear boots and sweatshirts and dig in the dirt. They're not looking into it. They're not looking into Facebook.
I recently had this conversation with a couple of people from the company. West,
fingerprints. You think about all the pharma labels and all the pharma information that's done in bottles. That's what they do. And they're moving to digital fingerprints, which is a big issue. Same exact conversation we had before starting. And what we actually wound up doing was we took a look at who buys from, and we came up with a list of 5 different people who are involved in that buying process. One of them was a person called a packaging engineer. Now, when we took a look at the persona of a packaging engineer, these guys and gals, they were all over the web. There was a Facebook crowd, there was a Twitter crowd. So from a social media standpoint, we're starting with just that one. And it's not, the packaging engineer is not the major buyer. They're a major influencer in purchase of their product. But it just took us taking a look at who buys from you, what all those personas are. Clearly, the rest of these guys aren't there, but this one is. So we're beginning a social media experiment called Ask Bob to just reach out and communicate with the packaging. But you have to get in and help them understand who's buying from you. You've got to get specific.
We got some other, I think it is about buyers personas, right? So if I'm wearing jeans and sweatshirts and digging stuff, that's interesting. What other buyer personas stuff you got going on up there, sir?
Well, what I would say is that I think that people need to be what I call blog intentionally. You know, or approach this in an intentional way to say, I want to get a result out of it. Because, you know, in I used to run the interview for a large public company, and I get the editor and I'd say, you know, think about where you want to get to as opposed to, well, what's my thought of the day? I said, you want to be persuasive and conversational, but you want to get somewhere because...
I think you want to be real, right? There's no persuasion in anything I write. It might be stupid. It might be one of the craziest stuff on the planet. But I'm being real, right?
But it's realness by doing it in a way that because it's a marketing communication, is that you want to... because there's nothing worse than
I think it's unmarketing, right? Social media is unmarketing, right? It's exposure to people to develop relationships. But I believe that's it. I mean, there's no... We talked about ROI here a second ago. Is it return on investment or return on influence? Is it return on immediacy? Right? What's the value of immediacy with your customers? What's the value of influence in the industry? I don't know, PR people have been saying, share a voice, that's the most important thing. I don't know how you measure it, right? But I think that really good graphics and big books. So yeah, they are right. Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
He who kills the most tree wins.
Well, just to kind of pick up from the ladies there, I recently had this conversation with a chemical company. So a chemical company, they sell chemicals to the manufacturing company, and then the manufacturing company uses that chemical to then create a product and then go to the consumer. So the chemical company is like, why are we going to be involved with social media? And so I had a conversation with them. I said, well, who influences who purchases the product? So the consumer. So if you actually influence the consumer, the consumer will want more of those products, and so that's why you need to be part of the conversation, because if consumers feel good about certain chemicals that are in their products, then they're going to want to demand more of those products, and then your manufacturing companies are going to want more of your chemical so that they can produce more of the product to the consumer. So it's really about understanding that consumer.
Intel inside.
I was going to say, I guess I'm here today kind of seeing what information I can take back to my clients and my members who are micro business owners, small business owners. And, this social networking has become kind of like a passion for me. And one of the examples that I have is that I wrote an article on taking care of older, being a business owner, and taking care of older parents, because I said to myself, I wonder, is there anyone else who's in business full time for themselves going through what I'm going through, taking care of 86-year-old father and a 76-year-old mother, and how it impacts your business. So I went on one of the networks that I belong to, which is very good if you're an expert in anything, self-growth.com. I belong to it and have gotten so much impact from this. But I wrote it, and I didn't expect to really get very much from it. You know, how about 10 new clients? How about people asking me...
Wait, are you telling me people buy from people like themselves?
You know, people were saying, oh, so you do small, I visited your website, you know, I looked up, I've referred some people to you, I'm having problems with my dad, you know, how are you handling this? But it is about anything, it is talking about anything, you know, and somehow connecting it to who you are as the expert or the individual, and people are just eating it up. They're starved for the kind of conversation that you don't normally get to have with people every day.
That's it. I mean, right? Folks have a desire. They want to tell you stuff, and they want to chat with you. You know, so I've got, I've been on a help desk. So I used to be at a help desk, right? And I equate this to social media. People would call, my stuff doesn't work. And then when I started on the help desk, you know, it meant like stuff didn't end up at the store, right? People didn't get paid, and they were just crazy upset. And, you know, if you start the time to listen to what their concern was. It was not about solving the technical problem. It was just listening to, because the technical problem was 3 minutes. I could have, you know, click, 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 yep, right click, there you go. But they wouldn't be happy with that. They're happy with talking and listening. So to your point, people just want a way to interact. And that's what social media is. It's an interaction channel, right? There's four P's, right? There's placement, promotion, there's another couple ones, right?
Price.
Okay, there's product, placement, there's the promotion. I missed it again. Damn, price. Oh, that's right, because I think price is going to be commoditized in all of social media. I mean, anyone take that? Anyone see negotiations on where the cheapest camera is? Yeah, anyone see where's the cheapest or most best service for cheapest amount? Value statements? So the P's are changing, right? Maybe there's a fifth P, portfolio, right? You now have to manage a bunch of channels for your brand, both inbound and outbound. And if you don't mix that right, it's a challenge. Yep.
And that gets exactly to my question, because most of the focus so far has been talking about, you know, where do you blog, or where do you post, and how do you get yourself exposed, and what are you trying to accomplish? What I'd be interested in hearing are anybody's thoughts about what is the process around gathering the information. I don't know very many companies that have a whole huge staff of people that are spending all day long reading through all the relevant social media sites and blog sites,
right,
and deciding which information.
I've got your solution.
How do you get that back into marketing and sales,
yep,
or product development or requirements analysis or customer support?
So a friend of mine just launched a company called BuzzGain.com.
Okay.
Buzz what?
BuzzGain.com. I mean, it literally launched last week, and it is about how do you listen about your brand in the marketplace. It's like, I think it's free or like near free. It's, you know, definitely expensive. So take a look at it, and that's exactly what it is. You can't go everywhere. You know, friend feed isn't enough. You know, a bunch of Google alerts aren't enough, right? I got thousands of Google alerts, so many, you know, from like different lives, right? Oh, wow. I guess I once cared about surfing, right? So that's a good application. There's lots of things out there around that. Anyone use some interesting tools to listen? I mean, that's an interesting way to take the conversation.
Within Neighborhood America, we use Yammer.
Yammer? Anyone's used Yammer? Is it yammer.com? Yeah, I don't want to just plug McCoon's tool, you know, just because it hit my inbox. You had a question?
Yammer. Yeah, so it's good. Well, Neighborhood America, we're in social media, but this was really kind of an experiment for us. It's basically Twitter, but for private groups. So everyone in our company now is on Yammer, and it's given transparency to the entire organization. So everyone from our CEO down to our developers really are sharing what they're working on in real time. Our sales folks, our marketing, our product manager, project management. And it's been a great experience because it really has started to remove the silos within these functional organizations within the organization. And we're tapping into the collective knowledge, because you can't put structure around unstructured data and unstructured knowledge. So it's like when you get hired to a company, you know, people are like, well, I want you to put everything in CRM, so I'm just going to stick a hole in Judy's head and we're going to dump everything into Salesforce, and it doesn't work that way. And so you need a mechanism of communication where you can tap into that collective knowledge in real time.
Yeah, tribal knowledge is powerful, right? And you guys got that guy who's been at the company, let's say, 11 years, and kind of like the corporate historian. What if you had all of that, you know, in a Twitter stream, right? Not on SharePoint, you know, not on some other meaningless portal, but in something that you could search and index.
Do you use Yammer to share information within the company?
Yes.
About information that you found outside
of
the company on social media?
Absolutely. We're talking about what's being communicated in the outworld. We each have our own areas of passion. We do a lot of work in public sector, so at the state, local, federal level. So everything's communicated now within Yammer, and it has really substantially cut down our email load as well.
You got some interesting things to say.
I just wanted to follow up on that. Is this text only, or can you also
upload files? Yeah.
So you can actively work on files through your platform, right?
The second, one thing I warn everyone, don't get stuck in the tools. There's always going to be a new shiny one.
It's really the methodology.
Some are going to be interesting. Some are going to be a waste of time. But find your shiny tools, find your communities. You can't be everywhere. Don't pretend to be everywhere, too, right? Then you're nowhere. Right? You're too spread thin. Yes, ma'am.
I think you need to find your own niche. Like for myself, I find Twitter much more useful as a small business than Facebook. Because Facebook, I have to give, no one can follow me. For example, we are releasing a product soon, so I want to know, it's a software, but I want to know what the consumer is looking for. We don't want to develop something which we are going to tell the consumer what to use, versus I want to hear what they are missing. So Twitter is much more Twitter-friendly. Personally, I like it better than Facebook. I know Facebook has 150 million users, but I have to give, no one can just follow me. I have to give permission and all this stuff.
Yeah, it's a bunch of work, isn't it? I think Facebook is like a second job.
And then they throw you off.
Yeah. So yes, sir.
That was actually going to be my question. You know, when you look at all of these different tools, they can turn into a second, a third, and a fourth job, and what happens to the real job?
So my wife Twitters me with dinners, right?
So the question is, I looked at everybody's perspective on how do you balance and how do you keep it into a reasonable direction where you still get the results, but without it taking over your life?
I would say it's what kind of reaction time you'd actually implement if you were watching, sort of a relevant response, relative monitor. I mean, if you're not going to do something when the stream comes in, you don't need to be so caught up on missing the stream when it comes in. So it's a relevant monitor for relative reaction type of approach. So you may, once a week, get a clipping service type of mindset for what was said in the sphere, and then maybe monthly react to it. Or you could be using it as a customer service tool, and then you need to treat it like a hot customer service line. So it's, what can you do? And then that's how you decide how much you can do. And that's how you make it either a fifth job or a hub.
Or go to dinner.
Or go to dinner.
Well, for me, my Facebook, it's a little bit of a test. It seems like I'm on there a lot. I'm not. I delegate maybe 5 minutes, you know, to post something that's happened to my company or something that I've read on Twitter that might help people that I know, and then I'm off. So I jump on and I jump off. I maybe spend maybe a total of a half hour a day on it. But I am on there consistent. I'm consistent about it, and I think consistency is the key.
Yeah, that you might have nailed something there. So I was talking to a CEO, I know, and in fact, he pitched out. We were out in Portland, and that was our keynote there. And he Twitters a little bit. I'm like, you know, how do you, as a CEO of a company, How can you justify Twittering? Because, well, how can you not justify saying thank you? How can you not justify saying hello in the elevator? You know, it's a personal interaction to people you know, right? How long does it take to do that? 140 characters, right? It's about investing in relationships. It's this key theme, right? You're engaging people, you know, CEOs all the way down, right? You might be talking about what you're doing Friday night in Midtown, or you might be talking about the strategic planning meeting that you're late for 10 minutes from now, right? Or 10 minutes ago. It's just, how do you use the tool? So what's, so who's had a bad experience in social media? Yeah, all right,
well,
right on.
Well, it's not entirely a bad experience, but you said how do you use the tool, and I think that relates to what your objective is first. I work for a company which is partially based on a social networking platform. And then
can y'all hear him in back?
Building other things on top of it. And I work on the tech development end of things. And for the last 2 months, it's all about Facebook. You know, we must implement Facebook Connect. We must have our presence on Facebook. And I'm thinking, well, that's pretty neat technology. It's going to bring a lot of new users to Facebook. It's an interesting tool, and it provides a bunch of interesting opportunities. Point to our goals that maps to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having a little trouble at my own company seeing where this, especially we're a startup, so you know, I could see perhaps where this is going to be really valuable to us 6 months or a year from now. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the diversion of our resources and our focus and what we're doing, please explain to me where this is actually fulfilling one of our core business goals right now, because I don't see.
Some marketing guy read something online and he's like, you know what, gotta have
that's
Facebook.
Great,
you know?
That's a great idea.
It's management by InFlight Magazine, right? They got the thing and went through it and they're like, oh, Twitter or Facebook, gotta
I'm
have
interested
it.
In what
well, you have
woman was saying about Twitter. That's
well,
that
Facebook,
maybe fit better.
Facebook has the biggest, we have 150 million users, so that's your biggest market there. But again, it comes down to how you It hasn't been able to monetize as yet.
Yes, sir.
I like the fact that this conversation was for most of the time driving towards business, because whether Facebook has 150 million users or not, doesn't really matter.
It doesn't.
No. I only need my prospects, or I only need to reach my current customers to keep them happy. So I'm more interested in hearing how people are using this or maybe not using it, because it's I only need my prospects. I don't need 150 million.
But you do need happy customers that say good things about you online that you already sold so they can have word of mouth into someone else. That might be a prospect.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Damn, these whole like circle of life stuff. Yeah, go ahead.
I think I can speak to that topic just a little bit with what to do with Facebook. You know, I go out. So I own a small business. Rocket IT is the name of the company. We do IT support for businesses. The vast majority of regular, normal people don't have any idea what IT means.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know. In fact, a lot of people call it Rocket IT because they just don't know what IT is. And so what I look at is when I'm out here and I'm meeting people and I'm out in my community and I'm meeting prospects and I'm meeting people at the chamber events and things like that, a lot of times we'll connect on Facebook. And after that, I'm touching them several times a day, talking about things that are going on in my company. We're helping somebody with a server installation. Our help desk is covered up. We just help somebody save a bunch of money. And now all of a sudden, I'm building a relationship with those people, and they're starting to say, oh, that's what that guy does. Now I understand. The other thing is that sometimes I hang out at a social club near my office, and I'll go up there for lunch, and some people will say, well, why do you go over there? It's really expensive. Well, the truth is because that's where my prospects are hanging out. And every time I walk through that room with another person, they think, oh, there goes Matt Hyatt, Rocket IT. You know what? I need to call that guy. I've been meaning to talk to him about a printer or server or whatever. And it's the same thing with Facebook and with LinkedIn and even with Twitter now, is they just see your name and it makes that connection happen over and over again. And learn to
go. That's a good point. Let's go back to old world social media or old world marketing. Never heard the term, you get the drumbeat, the brand, right? Get a PR process, just drip, 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 right? That's what social media is. I mean, that's what you just described, standard ways of executing in the market. You need to do them all. You can't abandon the old world. In fact, some of the things you can do in the old world are still more valuable than what you can do online. But you had a point, I cut you off, so I apologize.
question I guess I would have to throw out there is in blog stuff that you continue. It's interesting, there's not a lot of true success story cases. I hear a lot of anecdotal stories, a lot of things of what might happen, and we don't even know where with Facebook. But it's interesting to me that after quite some time, you don't have a lot of well documented true success stories with this.
So I don't know what success is, but.
Yeah,
that's part of the question, right? What's success?
Walk away money.
Yeah, I don't know what success is. It's different for everyone, right? I'll tell Kip Chris Harvey's story a little bit, the guy that talked here today. I've known Chris for 10 years. He at one point in time was my boss. He said, you know what, there's this interesting thing happening in blogging and stuff. I think I'm going to go do this. Yeah, he's employing 5 different people at his company. They all work kind of virtually over, you know, they've engaged and created a lifestyle as well as an income. Not just a lifestyle, but an income. And they add value to other people's businesses, through consulting, research, etc. But, you know, he started on a blog. I don't know what success is, but if success is sitting on a beach in Half Moon Bay at 3 o'clock, drinking a beer, blogging, I'm thinking that's close.
Right.
You know, I don't know if it is, but it's close. So, you know, think about what you want from it. It goes back to the goals. Who said goals? Someone said goals down here around Facebook, right? Think of your goals in everything you're doing, right? Throw out the B2B social media concept. How many of us just do stuff because someone told us to do it? We don't really understand the goal. Yeah, welcome to marketing, right? So, we go back to goals as much as we should as marketers.
My favorite day of the year is the day in the fall was at the launch pad now. 25 hours that day. So that I don't think we've been able to set the clock back every day and get 10 hours. I think part of it is what can we remove from our work? Last year I removed from my work purchase of an outside lead source tool that I was spending $4,500 a year for, because I was getting more effective leads out of Twitter. I was tracking my leads for free. I was getting more leads out of Twitter than what I was spending $4,500 for. Small business, that's a success story.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm putting more time into Twitter now because I could take something else out. So I think that's one of the questions to look at. What can you take out of your business that isn't productive?
You know, this like middle row, that size, but so quiet. So person with like burgundy shirt right there. You've got something you're doing in your business that is meaningful around this. What?
Sure. I work in public relations, and probably once a month I hear about one of my clients randomly read a magazine article that I produce for the CEO, an insurance publication or a security publication, where like we were on a plane to Tracer or whatever, and someone said, "Hey, you're Kathy Cabrera," and they got the business leads through that by me posting that article, and that's a thought leadership piece. So technically, if I guess I counted that one time I actually heard about it, that might be a one sales lead, but for everyone that I hear about, there's still 10,000 other leaders of that publication who gained value from that article I placed. So if I can not only leverage old world, you know, business media stuff and start having clients go direct to their consumer or to their customers with their thought leadership, you're bigger in their eyes, you're more relevant, you're helping them. So that incident?
Yeah, I think it's a great way in how you took it to media. Like, I think TechLens is made, you know, here in town, right? You make connections with folks when you go to TechLink events, when you read TechLinks, when you find out that Tim Davis all of a sudden is CIO of the year. My goodness, I remember drinking beers from 7 years ago. He was like, fix the servers.
He's still drinking them, too.
Yeah.
Market shop every Friday.
Yeah. That's right.
Not just Friday.
You know, there's some good opportunities here, right? And it's how you create awareness, and it's print, it's online, it's multi-channel, right? None of us are going to do one thing and win. We're not going to do print and win. We're not going to do online advertising. We're not going to do blogs and win. But if you integrate against your goals, I like that theme came up, and everything you're doing across your integrated campaign is towards that goal, you win, right? And you're going to be wrong. You're going to make mistakes. But, you know, it's great that someone found your CEO and that you got acknowledged in that, right? Because that's a home run for a PR person, right? They toil away, they throw out the book, and they don't know if there's anything valuable, right? So wonderful kudos to you. It must have felt good to hear about that. Because I know it feels good when I see folks I know online doing good things. And hopefully out of here, you can help other folks do good things, too. There are some questions somewhere.
Yeah, I was going to ask, a lot of this has been about engaging the customers, and we were talking about empowering employees, but a lot of companies now, like mine, are actually, they are shrinking, and so there's more contract consultants, there's more freelancing going on the creative side of the company. So how do you, I wanted to look at the other side of that and figure out what's being done on that side innovatively to connect and empower and seamlessly integrate those folk into the discussion from the social network.
So let me play back what I think I heard. Economy sucks, people are getting whacked, and a lot of outsourcing is going up because they're taking fixed and moving into variable.
Right.
And how do you engage those variables in a meaningful discussion inside your business consistently so they're not just some ad hoc people that randomly come in and you have to rebrief them 10 times?
That's exactly what I said.
Because that's a valuable exercise. New consultants, how are you today? Let me tell you something. Oh, you were here 4 weeks ago. Let's tell you all over again. I think that's, you know, it's going to be kind of the groups you join, right? Yeah, I'm a member of alumni groups. Folks ask me for ideas. I answer ideas. I ask ideas. If you create a group, and LinkedIn is probably as good as Plaxo or any of those. I don't know how you're going to, you know, keep a corporate-oriented view, but you could keep a consulted group live, and you could share, I worked at that company, I know this about that, or I just rolled off an engagement at that company. You know, tribal knowledge, you don't know if you're going to maintain a lot of that. But you could have tribal relationships, right? And that's equally as valuable. If you could tap two people over, you know, a consultant used to work there, one of the smartest guys in the business was this guy. Get a hold of that guy. That's as valuable as, you know, having, you know, repeat meetings and that, right? If you can get to the right person faster. So if you can create a way for folks to gather of like interest and like capabilities, smaller the better, right? We have a niche, right? We thought it was a bad thing. I'm going to tell you, niche is as cool as I'll get out. Smaller the better, especially in this market. We had one up here, and I've been ragging on PR agents, and my PR agency's here, which is what I'm going to do. Yes.
Thank you. Yes, I work in PR, and but I'm a digital person, landed in the PR space. So my question for you, John, is we work with both B2B companies as well as B2C companies, and where I see companies fall short in social media is the culture of their company is not socially oriented, but at Innovus it is. So what were some of those practices you mentioned?
So let me explain to you how long it took me to get people interested.
Yes.
I first proposed a blog almost 4 years ago. I went through two VPs or two CMOs, and then I got a CMO that was friendly to blog and social media. So I just jammed, like, yeah, let's do it, let's go now. And he was all over it. In fact, he doesn't work anymore. He's that McCoon guy I mentioned, right? And so he let me run. I mean, I just got lucky. I found an individual that wanted to give me an opportunity to run with something. You know, half a life's luck, right? But cultures, they got to change, right? I mean, it's like I'm a political kind of geek. I equate it to kind of like the senior leadership that led our country before was all kind of World War II, children of World War II kind of mentality, Cold War. We're now entering into a political culture that doesn't know about the Cold War, that doesn't know about World War II. Vietnam was saying, I might know something about it. There's some songs in the 60s, right? But outside of that, there's not a whole, you know, we're moving, and just like time kills on the heels all wounds, it's going to change the culture. And it's going to take more kids getting into companies and more kids, you know, not getting jobs. I mean, think about, you know, the people that don't get jobs, right, because of what they do in social media. You're going to run out of talent, people. And as soon as that talent crunch happens, corporations are just going to have to embrace it. I mean, you will get the talent crunch. I mean, it's going to happen. What worked in the past from a hiring perspective is going to work going forward. Yeah, we're kind of in this little gray area where you're I saw you at grad school on that frat party. You know, maybe not, but 5 years from now, it's meaningless, right? It's noise. You know, anything you do on Facebook is just another dimension. Just like this is just another dimension to marketing. And that's all we can ever really hope for, you know, is moving to that next axis. But I can't answer that for you. It's locked.
But for Novus, how many people there would you consider are socially minded?
Oh, so, you know, not, you know, it's like, you know,
culture,
it's like once they say it's okay, everyone's social, right? I would say that probably 50% of our business is actively engaged in social media. I think most of them are on my LinkedIn profile, which is, I mean, but, you know, it's, that's one way to look at it. I'd say probably 20% of our business maintains some sort of active feed, like a blog or a friend feed or a Twitter feed. And then of our corporate blog, we actually let anyone that wanted to post, and I think we got 20 authors. And it's sporadic. We do everything from development to question of the week. But, you know, just once you open the door, all these closet people come out. I do social stuff. Can I blog? I mean, it was weird when we said call for bloggers. But you never would have thought that certain people wanted to blog. I mean, it was like literally giving people an opportunity to succeed in the business. And so your opportunity to succeed in the market is find a way to embrace this, right? You know, create a culture, first and foremost, that embraces openness and sharing, because that's all we're doing on social media. And then find a way to reward folks, right? If you're a developer and you saw someone's person in 140 tweets, then, you know, right on, Starbucks gift card for you, right? yeah, then you have to, across the whole organization, accept it. And our CEO took a little while for him to accept it. Took him probably 90 days to write his first blog post. And he wrote it himself, right? So he's not like one of those, you know, someone else writes his stuff for him. He doesn't blog a lot, but yeah, and we even turned our customer newsletter into a blog. That's how much we actually believe in them now.
What do you think about that? Someone else writes it.
Being a ghostwriter for CEOs, historically, you know, it's...
Well,
it is what it is, right? I mean,
yeah.
You get busy, you can't, you know, you can't always write your own stuff. I mean, that's just reality, right? Lots of organizations, though, don't like it, they frown on it. Lots of people, that they don't like it, they frown on it.
What's the
fact of life, though? I mean, you read that article you placed for your CEO, I'm pretty sure he didn't write the whole thing, or she, right? Maybe possibly the PR agency wrote it. And that's okay, it's acceptable. You know, don't lie about it. If someone asks you, just write it. Answer it, because that's where you get in trouble, right?
That was my question. In the
time.
Excuse me, yeah. 5 more minutes, and then we'll switch.
Okay, I got that.
Thank you.
Right on. Well, in the spirit of transparency, right, for ghostwriting, I mean, should you be upfront about it?
Yeah. Absolutely.
I didn't like this, but this is like
okay. You're going to be upfront in best right.
So you go to your profile, and on your profile it says, you know, I like blogging. You know, at times I'll add news editors. At times, you know, this may be, you know, a rough outline I created. And that's acceptable. Right? You know, that's acceptable. You can't be transparent. I mean, in magazines, you can't be transparent, right? You pick it up and go, oh, wow, Steve wrote this. Yeah.
If you had an automated lead management system, just hypothetically, and you identified a relevant post to Facebook or LinkedIn or what have you, would you feed that into your lead management system?
I feed that into my competitive intelligence network, and I would make sure that alert goes out to a lot of folks. I would use social technologies to do that. You know, everyone wants to put everything in Salesforce automation or CRM app. You know, unstructured data, you know, that's not the place for it. You know, let your data live free, do pointers to it. But I think a competitive intelligence network is what that's for, not unlike the Yammer. I think there was a Yammer discussion here. I mean, that's what that is writ large, right? I saw this out there, boom. And it's about the immediacy. There's nothing immediate in any CRM app I've ever used, right? Long, strewy, query string. Oh, wait. Right. Hey, I think this is that, and let's go back to the other questions because I feel time pressured now. All right.
Crowd search. Anyone aware of a senior executive private club online group that I'm involved with, supporting with, wants to find you as an example to model after where I'm from, where there is an invitation only restricted control membership for senior executives who, and they are, they've looked at LinkedIn and the other, they don't, but they won't have their own custom developed database. So those don't fit.
Well, there is, you can use a similar business model. There's a site called affluence.org, which is for wealthy people who are looking at
Locally here in Atlanta, Kettering Executive Network's got an online presence through Yahoo. You have to be a member of Kettering to participate in that.
And I don't think that has a customizable database.
All right, we're going to find you a technology set, darn it. Y'all, thanks for showing up. Hopefully you've been here.
The song you heard in this podcast was Garden by Cargo Cult, available only on Magnatune.com. Thanks for listening to Unconcast on the Georgia Podcast Network. If you have recorded or are planning to record a discussion that you think would make a good episode of Unconcast, email us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com to learn how you can submit it.